Here's your fair value brief for Monday, August 17, 2026. Copper surge is exposing a hidden cost in AI's gold rush. The metal hit $14,625 per ton in July, a 22% jump for the month, adding 2-3% to data center budgets, just as Wall Street rolls out $500 billion in AI infrastructure financing. The catch? No one budgeted for copper at these prices, and bond investors are starting to notice. Meanwhile, the Fed isn't hiking rates, but the market is doing it for them. The 10-year Treasury yield at 4.63% has pushed 30-year mortgages to 6.67%. That's a 267 basis point jump since 2022 and 2023, wiping out about 20% of homebuyer purchasing power. Call it stealth tightening. And Wall Street's $500 billion AI bet just got riskier. Firms like Nvidia, BlackRock, and Apollo are financing data centers like bonds, counting on GPU cash flows to cover the debt. But with copper surging and energy costs climbing, the numbers might not add up the way they promised. Now, to the big story. Copper's $478 premium is the first crack in AI's financial engineering. Right now, copper on the London Metal Exchange trades $478 per ton above three-month futures, the widest gap since the short squeeze in 2021. Global inventories have plunged to around 200,000 tons, the lowest since 2014, and forecasts now cluster around $15,000 per ton by year-end. This isn't just another commodity rally. It's the physical market screaming shortage before AI data centers, grid batteries, and EVs are even fully built. Here's why it matters. First, AI's unplanned bill. Copper wires everything: data centers, power delivery, cooling, servers. Nvidia's latest earnings call admitted copper now adds 2-3% to construction costs, up from about 1% in 2023. For a $1 billion facility, that's $20 million extra. Scale that across the $500 billion in AI infrastructure deals announced last week, and you're looking at a $10 to $15 billion overrun that no one saw coming. Second, it echoes 2008. Wall Street's new $500 billion AI financing platform lets tech firms offload data center costs to bondholders. The pitch is that compute power is an asset class. The risk? If the underlying asset's revenue can't outpace its input costs, like copper and energy, you've got a mismatch. Back in 2008, the mistake was assuming home prices only go up. Here, it's assuming AI demand will always outrun costs. Copper is testing that assumption right now. And third, the gridlock. Copper isn't just in servers. It's in the batteries and transmission lines that power them. The U.S. added 3.3 gigawatts and 8.4 gigawatt hours of energy storage in the first quarter of this year, with 91% of new grid capacity coming from solar and wind. Both depend on copper. At $14,625 per ton, projects stall. Take Arvon Energy's 1,200 megawatt-hour Nighthawk battery in California. It took 18 months to build before copper spiked. The next wave of projects could slip 6 to 12 months, just as AI's power demands are peaking. This week, keep an eye on two flashpoints. First, LME inventories. If they drop below 150,000 tons, the spot premium could hit $600 per ton, adding another 1% to data center costs. That's where Wall Street's financial models start to strain. And second, Nvidia's earnings on August 26th. Watch two numbers. One, copper's impact on their capital spending, and two, any tweaks to the terms of that $500 billion financing platform. If they're adjusting for commodity costs, the market hasn't priced it in yet. Bottom line, AI and copper aren't separate stories. When a critical input cost surges after capital is already committed, the math changes for Nvidia's margins, for municipal bonds funding grid upgrades, and for the 10-year Treasury yield, now at 4.63%. Copper is signaling sticky inflation, and the bond market is paying attention. Now, here's what's going on today. Markets are caught between two forces: the Fed's passive tightening through those elevated real yields, and the collision between AI ambitions and soaring copper costs. Equities? It's rotation, not a rally. S&P 500 futures are up just 0.14%, but the moves underneath tell the story. AMD jumped 6.5% on Friday, extending its lead as the AI chip alternative to Nvidia. Energy stocks are grinding higher. The XLE ETF is up 7.7% over the past week, with Chevron and EOG Resources climbing steadily as oil holds near $90 per barrel. But tech is showing cracks. Broadcom dropped 5.9%, Oracle fell 3.6%, and Coinbase slid 3.5%, dragging down crypto-exposed stocks. The real action, though, is in bonds. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.63%. The 30-year? 5.21%. That puts the real yield around 2.3%, 180 basis points above the Fed's neutral estimate. In other words, the bond market is pricing in a Fed funds rate of about 7.2%, not the current 5.25 to 5.5. And mortgage rates? 6.67%, the worst affordability since 2007. This week's catalysts to watch. Canadian CPI comes out today at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Forecast is plus 0.4% month over month, 2.0% year over year. A hot print reignites Bank of Canada hike talk. A miss fuels the global disinflation narrative. And on Friday, we get earnings from Walmart and Target, a key check on the U.S. consumer's health. Now, the big picture. The bond market and the Fed are locked in a quiet war with real consequences. The 10-year yield at 4.63% and the 30-year at 5.21% embed a real yield of about 2.3%. That's 180 basis points above the Fed's neutral estimate. And it's acting like a stealth rate hike, tightening financial conditions without the Fed lifting a finger. Here's how the pain spreads. First, yields drive mortgages. The 10-year anchors mortgage rates, now at 6.67%, the highest since 2007. Housing starts are at 1.427 million, but new home sales are at 628,000, about 5 to 6% below trend. The market is oversupplied and undersold. Every 10 basis point rise in rates cuts purchasing power by about 1%. With rates 267 basis points higher than in 2022 and 2023, that's a roughly 20% hit to what buyers can afford. Second, housing drags down consumers. Housing makes up about 15 to 18% of GDP. When affordability crashes, consumer spending, which is 70% of GDP, follows. Right now, the median home price-to-income ratio is 6.2 times versus a 20-year average of 4.5. And equities? They're missing the memo. S&P 500 futures are up 0.14%, NASDAQ futures up 0.48%, propped up by AI optimism. But the VIX jumped 5% to 14.97, signaling caution as money rotates into value and defensive stocks. The bond market's warning is getting louder. Now, let's go around the world. The Strait of Hormuz is flashing red. Shipping has nearly halted. War risk insurance premiums have hit 5% of a ship's value. That's 30 times normal rates. Only 5 commodity vessels passed on August 15th, down from about 130 per day before the crisis. That's 20% of global oil trade and 20% of LNG at risk. The International Energy Agency forecasts a 1.8 million barrel per day shortfall this quarter, yet Brent crude stays range-bound between $88 and $90 as traders bet high prices will curb demand. But the real cost is in shipping. Marine insurers have paid $1.5 to $2 billion in Middle East claims since the war began. Freight rates for Middle East Asia routes have tripled. Insuring a tanker now costs $1 million per voyage, up from $30,000. Meanwhile, China's making its move. While the West debates, Beijing acts. Hengli Petrochemical dominates Iranian crude purchases, trade the U.S. calls illicit, but can't stop. Non-oil exports surged 24.2% in July, driven by AI demand for semiconductors. And on energy, China's Linglong One Small Modular Reactor, their first onshore SMR, went critical this month, locking in power supply chains for a decade. Over in Europe, there's an energy paradox: cheap gas, pricey electricity. German industrial gas prices have fallen back to pre-war levels, around 30 euros per megawatt hour, as LNG floods in. But electricity remains high, around 100 euros per megawatt hour, thanks to grid constraints and carbon costs. And the EU's carbon border tax, CBAM, is now live, adding about 20 euros per ton to imported steel, cement, and aluminum. Now, the companies making news today. In AI chips, it's a tale of two stocks. AMD surged 6.5% on Friday to $514.39, extending a 6.4% weekly gain as investors pivot from Nvidia's valuation. But Broadcom dropped 5.9% to $392.99, wiping out most of its post-earnings rally. The big question, can its AI spending sustain margins with copper and energy costs rising? In energy, its steady gains versus crypto's slide. The XLE Energy ETF rose 1.4% on Friday, up 7.7% over the past week. Leaders include Chevron, up 1.2%, EOG Resources, up 0.9%, and Schlumberger, up 3.3%. But Coinbase fell 3.5% to $148.47, down 11.2% over the past month as Bitcoin and Ethereum stagnate, and Wall Street's quietly building its Bitcoin position. JP Morgan's spot Bitcoin ETF holdings jumped 25.5% to 10.62 million shares. Morgan Stanley's position rose 23% to 16.5 million shares. Bitcoin itself is up 0.7% over the past 24 hours, but it's stuck between $62,500 and $64,500. From Washington, here's the story. The Fed's passive tightening is doing the work for them. The Fed hasn't touched the Fed funds rate, still at 5.25 to 5.5%, since July 2025. But the 10-year yield at 4.63% and the 30-year at 5.21% are tightening financial conditions anyway. Real yields are around 2.3%, 180 basis points above the Fed's neutral estimate. The fallout? Mortgage rates at 6.67%. The worst since 2007. Housing affordability is in crisis, with the median home price-to-income ratio at 6.2 times versus a 20-year average of 4.5. And the S&P 500's forward P/E sits at 20.1 times, about 8% above fair value for current yields. This Wednesday's FOMC minutes will be scrutinized for any shift in the Fed stance. July's meeting saw three dissents, the most since 2021. But the data is mixed. Core PCE inflation is at 2.5%, unemployment at 4.1%, and retail sales fell 0.6% in July. Now, let's look under the hood at real yields, the market's mispriced time bomb. The Fed's hold is quietly destructive. Markets underestimate how real yields at 2.3%, 180 basis points above neutral, ripple through housing and equities. Here's how the dominoes fall. First, rates drive bonds. The Fed holds at 5.25 to 5.5%, but the 10-year at 4.63% embeds a real yield of about 2.3%. This gap has held for weeks, yet markets are only pricing in 125 basis point cut in 2026. Second, bonds crush housing. The 10-year anchors mortgages at 6.67%, with housing starts at 1.427 million, but sales at 628,000. 5 to 6% below trend, the market is glutted. A 267 basis point rate jump since 2022 and 2023 has erased about 20% of purchasing power. Third, housing drags down growth. Housing is 15 to 18% of GDP. When it stalls, consumer spending, which is 70% of GDP, follows. The live question, if the 10-year stays at 4.6% or higher, mortgage applications could drop below 200,000. The S&P 500's P/E could compress toward 18.5 times, and the Fed might have to cut sooner than it wants, or risk a harder landing. Now, something worth learning today, the short-term debt cycle. The business cycle gets all the headlines, but the short-term debt cycle, every 5 to 8 years, drives the volatility. In today's bond market, with real yields at 2.3%, far above neutral, is a classic example. Here's the pattern. First, easy credit, like from 2020 to 2022. The Fed cuts rates to zero, floods the system. Banks lend, companies borrow, and asset prices, homes, stocks, surge. Second, the boom, 2021 to 2023. Demand outstrips supply. Home prices jump over 40%, tech valuations soar, inflation hits 9.1%. Third, tightening. 2022 to 2025. The Fed hikes from 0 to 5.5%, the fastest since the 1980s. Mortgage rates double. Tech crashes. Leveraged firms fail. Fourth, the slowdown, 2025 to now. Inflation cools to 2.5%, but real yields at 2.3% act like a stealth hike. Housing affordability hits 2007 levels, and the S&P 500's P/E sits 8% above fair value. The crux? Most recessions start when the Fed overtightens. Now, the question is whether the market's complacency, betting on a Fed pivot, or the Fed's resolve, holding rates high, breaks first. Real yields at 2.3% are the stress test. Quick check. Why would a hot CPI print push mortgage rates up? Because inflation expectations drive long-term yields, and the 10-year Treasury anchors mortgage rates. When CPI rises, yields rise, and so do borrowing costs. Finally, here's what to watch this week. Today at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, we get Canadian CPI month over month. Forecast is plus 0.4%, prior was minus 0.4. The outcome isn't in yet. We're still waiting, and the question remains open. On Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, the FOMC meeting minutes drop. Focus on any shift in the Fed's reaction to real yields and housing. Thursday brings Australian employment change. Forecast is 11.4 thousand jobs added, down from 76.3 thousand last time. Weakness here could push the Reserve Bank of Australia toward cuts. And on Friday, the Treasury auctions $8 billion in 29-year, 6-month bonds. Weak demand could drive long-term yields even higher, tightening conditions further. One last thought. If the Canadian median CPI year-over-year comes in above the 2.0% forecast, which way does the 2-year yield move, and why? Think about how inflation expectations shape central bank policy, and how policy expectations drive short-term rates. We'll resolve this tomorrow. Stay sharp out there.